Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legends. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Ammo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up, man? How's it going?
I'm good, man. I'm good. You know, a lot better than the Warriors are feeling right now.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, we're going to get to that. Of course, like we mentioned, we're gonna talk about the NBA Finals and the Jurassic Park size hole that the Warriors, the defending champions, you know, have to overcome. We're gonna talk about that. Talk about how this impacts NBA free agency for the Nets and the Knicks and the other teams in the Kyrie Irving sweepstakes. We'll also talk about Jets finally getting their GM, Joe Douglas, and also, you know, the current states of the Mets, Yankees, and even WWE, and their recent superstar showdown highlighted by, apparently a lackluster matchup of two future Hall of Famers. Well, Goldberg's already a Hall of Famer, and, of course, you know, Undertaker is the Hall of Fame when it comes to WWE, even though it's not official yet. So we'll talk about that. But of course, most importantly, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 917-388-4189. That's 917-388-4189. So feel free to share your thoughts on any of these topics and more. Again, we'd love to hear from you. But let's just tip off with the NBA, and unless if you were Drake and a Toronto Raptors fan, who in their wildest dreams would have thought that the Raptors, the Toronto Raptors, leading the Warriors, the two-time defending Golden State Warriors, three wins away from having a dynasty. But nope, the Raptors, man. Give the Raptors their credit, man. Man, Kawhi Leonard, man. Kyle Lowry, man. All these guys, man. They're doing the impossible, man. They're getting Raptors to their potentially first. Ever NBA championship. And if they do that, which most likely they will, and if they do it on Monday night, it's going to be on Canadian soil. That'll be the first time ever that a non-American team wins the NBA title. Like, history is being made here, folks. Like, and of course we know Kawhi Leonard, he's going to win the MVP. I mean, let's just get that right out of the bag already, man. I mean, kudos to this dude. I think he scored at least, 35 points in, 11, at least 11 games or so? I mean, this guy's been, man, untouchable, unguardable. I mean, this guy, man, he's doing it all. And, before I get into the Durant talk, which is, you know, obviously tied to this, what's your thoughts on the NBA Finals so far?
I mean, yeah, it's surprising that the Warriors are down 3-1. Very surprising, but, you know, you don't have KD for the series. You know, they really needed him. Especially, you know, Raptors have a very good bench, and Raptors, they play very good defense. This is probably the best defense the Warriors have seen throughout their championship run, you know, the last 4 or 5 years. So, you know, they're seeing a team that's you know, that has depth, that plays defense, and they got one of the best players in the NBA in Kawhi. You know, he's tough to guard sometimes, and he's an all-around player. You know, not only is he scoring, but he's playing some great defense. And on the Warriors side of the ball, I mean, as I mentioned, you don't have KD, and Cousins hasn't done much besides that one game where he had, you know, a double-double, but he hasn't done much for them. And this is the reason why they got him for, like, when Steph isn't shooting great or Klay's not shooting great, they need him to post up, you know, and score. And he hasn't been doing that. So because of that, Warriors right now find themselves in a hole, and they have to win three more games now to, you know, to win the title. It's going to be tough. I mean, now they just got to hope that KD comes back for game five, if he even suits up. I mean, because we don't know how serious his injury is right now. You know, it might be a serious injury where he might not even play in a series at all. So right now it's not looking good for the Warriors.
Yeah, it really isn't looking good, man. They really need Durant. And my worst fear is, and every Knicks fan's fear, that this NBA Finals is going to impact whether or not Kevin Durant takes that leap of faith and leaves Golden State and potentially comes to the Knicks. But now the rumor, you know, going out, from what I've heard, is that apparently, what was I going to say? If they do lose the Warriors, which obviously that's a strong possibility, you know, he might stay and feel like he has unfinished business, you know, and not leave on a bad note like he did with Oklahoma, you know. So, but if he does win the dynasty, he'll leave. But I mean, either way you want to look at it, you know, there's always, it depends on the person's perspective. If they lost, he could be like, okay, well, that proves that, you know, it's time for me to go. They lost. Or, you know, or the most common rumor right now is that he might stay to try to turn it around. But if he does win, he could be like, hey, man, we're winning titles here. I should just, you know, stay here until the wheels fall off and see how many titles I win in a row. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's all based on perspective. So, like I've said, I mean, I'd love to see the Raptors win it, you know, because they've never done it before. But at the end of the day, I'm rooting whatever scenario is going to get potentially Kevin Durant to come to the Knicks. That's what I'm for. So we'll find out Monday night if the Raptors can seal their destiny and finally, you know, hoist that Larry O'Brien trophy. So we'll see what happens, man.
Yeah, it's a must-win game for Warriors Monday.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, Kawhi Leonard, man, he's really raising up his stock, man. And us Knicks fans knew there was a slim to none chance that he's coming to the Knicks anyway, you know. But after how they're building a statue for him, you know, basically, you know, in Toronto, probably next to the Vince Carter statue that they probably built already over there. Mm-hmm. You know, he ain't leaving, man. Like, this guy's already one of the best Raptors of all time already, and he just got there, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, props to him, props to Kyle Lowry, man. They're this close to winning it. And I think they're hungry, man. You know, normally I would think Warriors would win to try to stretch it to a five or six game. I mean, stretch it to a six game. As I thought from the jump streak, Warriors is going to win in six. So would I be shocked if Warriors win another game to force, you know, a game six or even a game seven? I wouldn't be surprised. But the Raptors, man, they look hungry. they look as hungry as the Raptors in the Jurassic Park film, man. They're not playing. They're hungry, man. They haven't had a title in, like, never in their, 20-plus-year history. So
yeah,
they're trying to get that. They're trying to get that ring, man. They're a team of destiny, it looks like. It's
they're
the
close.
Dynasty versus the destiny, so.
They're like, very close right now.
Yep. So they're this close. They're this close to their destiny. So they got the Giants down, man. They gotta stomp them out while they have a chance. Because if they let a sleeping Giant wake up, it's gonna be like the exact opposite of what the Warriors suffered to the Cleveland Cavaliers,
yes,
for their first title. So they know what it's like to suffer blowing a 3-1 lead. So they're hoping their fortunes could turn around in the opposite direction.
Warriors have come back from 3-1, you know, also. That same season they lost the Cavs 3-1. They beat Thunder in the round before.
Right.
They were down 3-1 in Thunder and they came back to win. So they've been in this situation before. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah,
know,
absolutely. But in
never count them out.
NBA Finals, I mean, yeah. That's why I'm not counting them out. You know, I could easily see them win a game, force it to game 6. Because, I mean, I thought this whole series was going to end in 6 to begin with. Obviously, I thought Warriors was going to win it in 6. So I wouldn't, if it was any other team, I probably would say definitively that the game's going to end in 5. But I could see it. I could see Warriors forcing it to game 6 or even a 7. But the Raptors look hungry. So I think this series is going to end either 5 or 6. You know, I mean, I'm just torn. I could see Warriors coming into Toronto and winning, you know, to at least go to game 6, you know. But we'll find out Monday night. You know, this is definitely going to be a must to watch game, man. And that goes without saying.
Yeah. Do or die right now.
It is literally do or die because the Warriors have to win 3 straight. There is no middle ground or any other way around it. They've gotta turn it around. They've gotta win everything. They gotta take every game one at a time for them to even try to pull off this miracle. Even though they were the favorites coming into this series. But yeah, we'll see what happens. And another thing, Kyrie Irving, he's, you know, rumored to wanting to prefer the Nets over the Knicks now. And if that happens, apparently he wants to lure KD over there. Or KD wants, the rumor is he wants to go to the Knicks or Warriors or stay with the Warriors. I mean, what do you think is going to happen?
Wow. I've been hearing that all week also. Stephen A. Smith has been reporting that.
Right.
You know, Kyrie's leaning towards the Nets. You know, right now, I don't know. You know, Nets have cleared up space right now to get, you know, Kyrie and possibly KD also.
Yeah.
But right now, it's all rumors. I mean, we don't fully know what's going to happen. I mean, you know, who knows where he goes or where KD goes, you know. I think there's a good chance that Kyrie goes to the Nets. I mean, he did grow up a Nets fan, and he is from New Jersey, so
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be shocked if he got him. But I think right now, you know, KD is probably going to stay in Golden State, I think.
It's starting to look like that.
Yeah, Kyrie probably goes to the Nets, looking
mm-hmm.
like, you know. So.
And then the Knicks are doomed. Or, I mean, I should say they stay doomed.
Well, they save up that money, you know, or, you know, try to get someone, you know, some other guy. I mean, there'll be other guys like Kemba Walker will be available.
Yeah, but they can't give him a max contract. I mean,
of course not. Yeah, no,
I love
no.
Kemba Walker. I mean, this guy's clutch. You know, ever since his UConn days. But I mean, he's always been clutch. But he has to be the secondary secondary or third option on a championship caliber team.
Well,
you can't throw all the money at him. You could give him decent money.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Yeah, give him
a max contract.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, they can't go over the top to try to get him to come over here. If they can't get him to come on a discount, man, that just shows you the state of the Knicks, man. Winter is coming, man. But for the Knicks, it's the blizzard's already here, man. they need Stark to come here. They got John Starks already in the organization. They need Aria to like just get the White Walkers out of this garden, man.
Well, they could save up the money. They could also do that. They don't have to spend it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, so, if you're not gonna get them at a discount, save your money, man. We'll just have another decade of horrible basketball as usual. But as long as they could save their money and spend on the right people, because I mean, I trust the people in the organization, as weird as it sounds. You know, David Fizdale. I mean, he has a losing record with the Knicks, obviously. But you could see he has there's a method to his madness, you know. Like, you could see he's a good coach, you know. He has, you know, coaching experience with Miami. You see there's a thought process, man. He embraces the Knicks past. He has, you know, great players past and present reach out to the young guys, and you know, he does stuff outside the box, like having the young players watch playoff games, you know. They even came to the game four to watch it, so the young guys could see, you know, the pressure of playing in a finals game, so they could be battle tested in a way mentally, you know, because obviously Lord knows when the Knicks are ever gonna, you know, make it to the playoffs, much less to the finals, unless everything breaks right for them free agency wise and, you know, drafting wise, but. Yeah, man, this is a SOS, man. I mean, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And since 2001, man, the Knicks, ever since the aforementioned Raptors eliminated them, it's been the beginning of the end for the Knicks franchise. They need to get back, man. I mean, they've had some, you know, teams. They had a few. You could count on a few fingers teams that were decent, like most notably the Jason Kidd, Tyson Chandler, Melo team. You know what I mean? But yeah, man, it's been a lot of horrible seasons, man. They need to be back to being the team of New York, man. They desperately need it. What was I gonna say? I'm trying to think of the Perry. What's his name? Scott Perry, I think it is.
Yeah, Scott Perry.
Yeah, Scott Perry. He looks like he has a good GM. You know what I'm saying? So those two guys running the helm, you know, you can see there's a bright future for the Knicks, as long as Dolan or any, you know, doesn't meddle, you know, in the process. They should get somebody. But like we've been saying for the past Lord knows how many years, year or two, or even going back to the LeBron James sweepstakes, both of the LeBron James sweepstakes, you know, I will believe it when we see it.
Yeah, right now it's, you know, who knows what happens. You know, we have
exactly.
to wait till see.
Exactly, man. Yeah, so. Yeah, shifting gears. Kudos to the Jets, man. They finally get their man. They got Joe Douglas, you know, who was with the Eagles. He was like a vice president, I think, with the Eagles. And many people say he was you know, he's a star in the rise, you know, he's an assistant. A vice president of the Eagles, and you know, a lot of people say he was very influential of, you know, the Eagles drafting players, signing players, you know, which eventually led them to their championship run. So congratulations on the Jets, you know, getting, you know, the former Eagles vice president of player personnel. And the other rumor is that they're thinking about getting, you know, Todd Shea, you know, a football analyst with ESPN to join their staff. And, you know, that'd be a good move. And whatchamacallit, those two have history because they were teammates in the University of Richmond, you know, way back in the day. So hopefully they can have that tandem. And not to mention Adam Gase has a, you know, a history with Douglas too. So, and then you got Greg Williams, who's a, a great defensive minded coach. So, you know, hopefully, you know, they could turn this franchise around. And if they do, people will forget about the debacle of how they handled the McKagan situation. And, you know, other good news, they re-signed Bilal Powell. So his career continues with the Jets. So that was a, you know, a very good move right there. What's your thoughts on the Jets?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good move for them that they got Joe Douglas, you know. Hopefully he can, you know, work his magic just like he did with the Eagles, you know, leading the Jets to the playoffs and maybe eventually a championship. So if he can do that, you know, that'd be great. And right now, you know, Jets have done – they've had a good offseason. I mean, they've gotten some guys – they've added some guys to the roster with experience, you know, that could help the team. You know, I like the signing, what was the wide receiver from the Redskins? Help me out here. This is your team, Will.
I'm trying to think. Who it is.
Crowder. Jameson Crowder. Thought that was a good pickup. And again, re-signing up Powell, you know, was a good move as well. So they have some pieces there, you know, on the team right now. And, you know, this could be a good season coming up for the Jets. You know, they're young, they're talented, they have some experience. So, you know, we'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah, they made a lot of big moves, you know, of course. Le'Veon Bell, Mosley. You know,
yeah.
they really made some moves in this offseason. So, and then, of course, they drafted Williams as well. So.
Yeah,
you know they should be a really good team. You know, it's just the major thing is, you know, is Adam Gase, you know, the quarterback guru that people make him out to be. You know,
yeah.
It remains to be seen because apparently, from what I've heard, you know, Darnold is trying to mount his game after Peyton because if you remember Peyton, he was Gase was Peyton's, quarterback coach, you know, towards the end of his career in Denver. You know, hopefully he could get that magic with Darnold. But, you know, that remains to be seen. And what remains to be seen, on the other flip side, one of my favorite teams, you know, I'm just going from the Knicks, the Jets to the Mets, you know, and obviously all these teams haven't won in at least 30 years, you know, but yeah, now talking about the Mets, they're just a typical 500 type team, you know, they go a few games over 500. They go under 500. It's like they're so inconsistent. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, they did win today against the Rockies. I mean, that's good. Alonso hit his 21st home run. Now he's five away from Darryl Strawberry's rookie record of 26 home runs, you know, as a rookie. And, you know, he's on his way, man. you know, Mickey Callaway, man, he's the major reason why this team is not gonna go anywhere. I mean, this dude had the audacity to say that Wilson Ramos and Jacob DeGrom has to, basically play together, you know, have that pitcher catcher tandem so that they could be prepared for the playoffs. Now, where is Jim Mora? Playoffs? Are you kidding me? Playoffs? I'm like, that was like the first thing that popped in my mind. I'm like, dude, we're like games under 500, and you're talking about the playoffs? Like, shoot, he needs to talk to Allen Iverson. He needs to talk to AI. They talking about practice here, not the game, that love. We talking about practice, and that's what the Mets need. The Mets need practice because they allow the most stolen bases in the league. Syndergaard leads the league, and then right behind them is Matt. They can't throw nobody out, man. And Ramos, man, yes, he's hitting. But that dude, man, he got old pretty fast, man. That dude couldn't catch a cold if he was in Antarctica. seriously, man, this team is such a head scratcher. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't even know what to say. I literally don't know what to say, you know, with this team. Like, it's like it's the same thing over and over again. They just find ways to blow games. Like, if you remember last week when we were also calling the end of the NBA final game, if I remember me right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, we were also talking about the Mets game was going on because they were on the road at that time. I think it was maybe against Arizona or Dodgers. Probably was Arizona. And I was talking about, like, you were saying, like, oh, you know, they should get the win. I'm like, knowing the Mets, man, they could blow it. It ain't over till it's over. And sure enough, they blew, like, a 5-1 lead in the eighth inning. And and I think they blew two games like that this week. So, I mean.
Yeah, they got to improve their bullpen. You know,
the bullpen is their kryptonite. Mickey Callaway and their bullpen is their kryptonite. That's basically it. Because they don't have a manager. They don't have a manager. They have a pitching coach masquerading as a manager, and his in-game decisions just drives me up a wall. Like, shoot, he drives me up the wall like Peter Parker running during track and field. Like he really his in-game decisions are just baffling, for lack of a better term, with this guy. How this guy got hired, I'll never know. And I just could spend a whole episode just talking about all the mistakes Mickey Callaway has done in this season, because he is not an in-game strategist, and his post-game, pre-game stuff is just even annoying. Like, I understand you want to give credit to the opposition, but geez, man, this guy acts like he's playing against the 27 Yankees. Like, everybody's, oh, geez, you know, he threw that ball out, you know. It's like, it reminds me of Vlad Guerrero 20 years ago, you know. Give the other team credit. I'm like, dude, yeah, give the other team credit, but you give the other team credit all the time. And then yesterday, they had a 2-1 lead with DeGrom on the mound. Normally, you'd be like, oh, DeGrom's on the mound? Arguably the best pitcher in the game? Yes. Yeah, let's go Mets. And then the opposition's like, oh, no, DeGrom's on the mound. Oh, no, we're going to face DeGrom. How are we going to win? But it's like the exact opposite. When DeGrom's on the mound, you know the Mets are going to lose because the bullpen can't hold the game, and the Mets offense can't even hit maybe two. They can't even hit two hits. They can't even get two hits in a game the way how they play. And no matter how they can't hit and they can't play, they can't field, they have their worst performances with their ace on the mound. It's like he's the anti-ace because of how they play. You expect them to lose now. And then him forcing Ramos to play to catch DeGrom instead of having a needle catch him, because he's infinitely better with Nito, you know, behind the plate than Ramos behind the plate as a, you know, the catcher. But no, then he had to say the catcher, the playoff line. But let's go back to yesterday. This guy, after the game, they blew a game. They blew a game that they could have won. They easily could have won with better management. And of course, you know, they almost had a fight, you know, because after the bullpen, Gagne, you know, gives up two home runs, and then he plunks Ian Desmond, which forced benches clear the benches are clear, and Daniel Murphy of all people instigating the thing after, you know, Ian Desmond, you know, was looking at the Mets sideways for him getting hit. And, you know, I'm trying to think. Oh yeah, right. Mickey Callaway was saying, oh, you know, the team's not frustrated. You know, with the guys he have on the team, you know, they're not frustrated. You know, they'll bounce back or whatever. And then of course Jacob DeGrom said he was, or the team was, frustrated. So I mean, it just shows you how this guy doesn't have a pulse of what it means to play in New York. And it's just baffling, the stuff that he says and does. It's just, man. Oh, speaking of the game, this game was on Fox, and you know Kevin Burkhardt and Joe Girardi was calling the game.
Oh,
well, it was on Fox today. So I'm like, you know, I'm hearing Joe Girardi saying, you know, the players love, you know, they really love each other, especially, you know, they play hard, you know, especially Dominic Smith and Alonso, you know, because both of those guys were essentially fighting for the same first base spot. But if you watch the game, you know, Dominic Smith is Pete Alonso's biggest supporter. You know, they have their own secret handshake when they go deep and all that stuff. Like, he's literally the first person that greets him, you know. And he said, Joe Girardi was giving them credit. So I'm like, yo, Joe Girardi, man, like, you know, come on, find a way to get Mickey Callaway fired and take over the team. Because Joe Girardi or Buck Showalter are the best guys. You know, I guess you'd have to say Girardi is the best guy, you know, because Girardi, he won the title with the Yankees, you know. But, I mean, hey, I mean, I would take him or Showalter, because Showalter, when you have Showalter, man, he leaves the team better. He leaves the team better than how he got there. That will ensure the Mets finally winning a championship. Like, him leave.
Showalter is getting up there in age, though.
Shoot, he's better than anything we have. I'd rather him than Jim Riggleman. I mean, that's like a Raisin Bran Stark, you know, version of a manager, man. You don't want Jim Riggleman running your team. Come on, man. This guy, he's an interim manager for a reason. This guy stinks. I can't say this hold it, man. He stinks as a manager. He's a slight upgrade over Mickey Callaway, but that's not saying much. So if they do make the move, because they have to fire Mickey Callaway before the All-Star game, or else the season is lost. Quite frankly, I really think the season's lost, because their love affair with Mickey Callaway, is what's going to cost this team this season. And that's all I got to say about that.
If you think if they don't finish with a winning record that they fire Mickey Callaway this season?
I hope so. I hope so. But then again, you know, my Mets, man, they do these head-scratching moves, i.e. hiring, you know, Mickey Callaway. You know what I mean? And you could even say Brody Van Wagenen, you know, hiring an agent who has no experience in New York to run the team. Now, don't get me wrong, I like Brody Van Wagenen and his, you know, his go-getter attitude. You know, he has the New York mindset of trying to run a team. But the problem is that him keeping Mickey Callaway is not going to give him the results that he wants to turn this team into a potential championship caliber team. You know what I mean? They let Keuchel sign with their rival Braves, They let Kimbrough sign with the Cubs, and I think that's gonna bite them. It's already biting them already. I just remember something. Jason Vargas, man, he pitched his best game as a Met. I think he had like what a four hit shutout, complete game shutout, man. I've been killing Jason Vargas ever since last year, even before he signed with the Mets, when they were saying, oh, Mr. might be interested in Jason Vargas. I'm like, no, this guy, I do not want this guy on the team. But I have to give him credit. You know, he pitched brilliantly. His past couple of starts, he's been phenomenal. Phenomenal. The other times in this, he's been pitching a lot better lately. I mean, he had some okay starts. He just didn't go deep enough. But these last couple of starts, man, he's been phenomenal. You cannot ask any more out of Jason Vargas the way he's pitching. I'm afraid to say this. He's probably the most consistent pitcher. And then you'd have to say Matt right DeGrom. After. No, not even DeGrom, because DeGrom, DeGrom, he pitched well. What was it, yesterday? I mean, he wasn't great, but he pitched all right enough to win. I think the start he had before that was better, was much better. He was pitching much better, but he was a tough luck loser, if my memory served me right. But yeah, man, Syndergaard, he's been shaky. You know, he's given up way too much hits, way too much runs. He's not dominant, you know. So he needs to wake up, man, for real. And shifting gears with the Yankees, the Yankees, you know, they were playing well overall until this, Cleveland series, man. What's your thoughts on the current state of the Yankees?
Well, you know, they had won 9 series in a row, so you know that wasn't gonna last forever. But yeah, I mean, they lost that series to the Blue Jays. Blue Jays ended up snapping their series streak. So they lost that series 2-1. And they're about to lose this series because they've lost their first 2 games in this Indian series. So tomorrow, they have to salvage this series by at least winning one game, you know. But, right now they've lost 5 of the last 6, so they've cooled down after being hot for about a month. And they're starting to get some guys back. Didi's back now in the lineup, and he hit a home run today. But unfortunately, it was, you know, too little to help us out. But you can just hope that these guys, the rest of these guys, come back like Judge. Hopefully, he's back before the end of the month, and Stanton maybe another several weeks after that. So right now they're tied with the Rays for first place. So they got us, you know, the schedule is going to get a little harder now. You know, you got Astros, Red Sox, Rays, and next week play the Mets. So that's going to be interesting to see in the Subway Series at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be a huge game for both teams, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
The Yankees are going to be back home and then facing, their cross-town rivals. I mean, you know, what can you say?
Yeah, it should be interesting.
Much watched game, you know. And the Mets need to turn their season around, you know. I mean, as a Mets fan, I'm hoping they could sweep the series. But realistically, I hate to say this, but I think Yankees are gonna probably sweep that series because the Mets.
Well,
man,
the Yankees are clearly the better team, you know.
Obviously.
But anything can happen, you know, when these two teams play.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Even though the Yankees have dominated the series, but, you know.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, that literally goes without saying. Well, the Yankees fan rubbing it in the face.
No, I'm saying, realistically, they have dominated. But I'm saying anything could happen because we've seen crazy games like, you know, Mariano blowing a save.
Right.
You know, Jeter killing the Mets. You know, he's had some fun.
Which one? Which game has Jeter killed the Mets? Which of the top 100 games are you referring to? I wonder if the Satoru Komiyama, you know, give up the home run to Robin Ventura. Like, in what? I mean, come on, man. There's so many games, like, you know. But Yeah, I mean, it should be an interesting series, you know, for both teams. And then they're going to play, I think, in July afterwards. So,
yeah, City Field.
Looking forward to that, hopefully, you know. So, you know, we'll see what happens, you know.
Yeah.
And lastly, the whatchamacallit, WWE, they had the Superstar Showdown. One of the highlights was Seth Rollins facing Baron Corbin. But, of course, Seth Rollins defeated him, whatchamacallit. But the big marquee is that Undertaker defeated Goldberg in their first ever matchup. But unfortunately, that match, you know, it was less than 10 minutes. And mercifully so, it was under 10 minutes because from all reports, it really stunk up the joint.
Oh, man. Just seeing the highlights of Goldberg botching the jackhammer on Undertaker, that didn't look like it was a good match at all.
And I heard that Undertaker was visibly upset because of that botch, which was essentially a brainbuster, you know, that could have injured his career. And my thinking was like, yo, if WWE, you know, I mean, I understand it. They should have had this match a long, long time ago, like during the Ruthless Aggression period. Like, come on.
Yeah.
But any case, why couldn't they have the Sting Undertaker fight each other? They're both like, all of them are like 50 years old. Like, Sting and Undertaker is the match everybody want to see. But WWE's ruined it, just like Rock versus Shawn Michaels, man. That's why we're never going to see those two great matches ever.
Yep.
Or even more recently, Daniel Bryan versus Kurt Angle. They literally could have had that match at WrestleMania. But no, the aforementioned Baron Corbin, the top heel of the WWE, has to be in every match in the main event. But, you know, that's the time for our show, man. We'll call it Matthew. I'm William Ramo. Come back next week. We're normally at Saturdays at 11, but we're going to do it on another day because I won't be able to make it. Because I will be going to a wedding next week, so I won't be able to make it for this show. So I'll be on another day next week. So check back this show next week. Normally Saturdays at 11. Check out IMAX every Saturdays at 10. And of course, check out my YouTube show, Sports Urban Legend TV. This is Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramo, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.